Let's stand together in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Begin reading in verse number 5. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. What a blessing. What powerful words that the apostle penned in these few verses. I want to focus on verse number 5, the entirety of our text this morning. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask his blessing over the message this morning. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for already meeting with us. Lord, the reality of your presence has been felt and understood. God, I pray for that one this morning who does not know you as their personal Savior, has not received the free pardon of sin. God, I pray today would be the day that they would choose Christ, that they would choose to turn their back on the world and to embrace the Savior who came and died for them out of pure love. God, I pray, Lord, that you will bless the message that we're about to preach and touch the heart and strengthen the hearer. In Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. 4 boys, 2 girls. That's what my mom and dad were stuck with. 4 rotten to the core boys. Well, 3. One of us was exceptional. And a girl on each end like bookends, you know, to try to make things right for poor mom. Rotten to the core. I remember one particular day we were in Bucks Pocket, Tennessee. I used to say, if you could find Bucks Pocket, Tennessee on a map, I'd give you a $20 bill. But I was preaching at Cornerstone Missionary Baptist Church one time, and I said that, and a fellow went and Googled it and printed it off and brought it to me. Thankfully, he let me out of that deal. I felt like that was cheating myself, but Bucks Pocket, Tennessee, I'll never forget it. Our driveway was gravel. About that big. They number that gravel. I don't know what number that is, but the gravel was about that big. And I'll never forget that Chad, Jonathan, and myself got into some kind of a fracas. I don't remember what it was over or what it was about, but I'll tell you, it got so bad that Jonathan picked up one of those big old pieces of gravel and hurled it just as hard as he could, hit me right in the back of the head. I went to screaming and you'd have thought I'd been beheaded. And I went running into the house. Mama, mama, mama. Well, apparently, in those days, we didn't have air conditioning. And they had them old windows that were about a foot and a half off the floor, went almost about a foot and a half from the ceiling. And when they'd raise those windows, had them old screens, they'd raise those windows, let the cool air. Apparently, Mother had been hearing the whole thing. And apparently, she thought, mistakenly, I'm sure, that I deserved to get hit in the back of the head with a rock. My dad was nowhere around at that moment, and she said, that's it. Get in here, all 3 of you, and sit on the couch till your daddy comes home. Well, I would have told you right then, I wouldn't have given 10 cents for my future. And I wouldn't have given a nickel for Jonathan's, amen. My dad believed in corporal punishment. If you don't know what that is, I'll be happy to explain after the service, amen. The reality is I had no future at all. I literally sat there and thought, this is the end. This is it. The executioner's on his way. I wouldn't give you a dime for my future. I wouldn't give you a nickel for Jonathan's future. And sometimes, and some of you may be sitting on a pew this morning, and the future has you afraid. It has you fearful. The truth is, you probably didn't get in on a lot of the high moments in the service today because all you can think about is this future that you wouldn't give a dime for. You're afraid of the unknown. Maybe you're afraid of the known. And I want to tell you this morning that Hebrews chapter 13, God has given us some scripture to help us face the future without fear. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, facing the future without fear. God does not want you to live in a fearful world. In fact, every time he shows up in scripture, I mean when he literally shows up, the first words out of his mouth are, "Be not afraid, it is I." Be not afraid. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, give thanks. And I want to tell you that you may be sitting there defeated this morning. Sin has beaten you down. And you may say, "Preacher, I just don't see how I'm ever going to overcome this. I don't see how I'm ever going to break the shackles. I don't see how I'm going to make it." You may be there this morning and finances has crashed in on you and you don't see a way out and the future has you fearing. It could be medical. It could be a number of things. Family sometimes. I don't know what it is this morning, but I can promise you this, whatever it is, God does not want your future to be fearful to you. I'm going to give you three things out of our text this morning, out of verse number 5, that I believe ought to inspire us to face the future without fear. The first one is this. Look at the Bible says. He says, let your conversation, that means your lifestyle, the way that you're living, let it be without covetousness. He says, don't live in a world where you're desiring what you do not have. Listen to what he says. He says, and be content with such things as you have. I want to say number one reason we should not have fear in our future is because of the contentment in his provision. The contentment in his provision. He says, child of God, do not live in a covetous life. Don't be living desirous of having what you do not have. Be content with what I have provided for you. We often have a fear that our needs are not going to be taken care of. We worry about the next paycheck, how the bills are going to be met, where the groceries are going to come from. But I want to tell you, child of God, put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your faith in God. Follow his word, and he will lead you to a place of peace in your future regarding his provisions. God is able to provide for his children. God is able to take care of your need. Contentment is not having what you want, but wanting what you have. Remember that. Remember that. We often think that I'll be content when I get this. If I can just get that, I'll finally be content. Contentment is not having what you want. Contentment is wanting what you have. Contentment makes the poor man rich, and discontentment makes the rich man poor. I think about the story I heard Dr. Adrian Rogers share about the tale of two tears. He tells the story of a tale of two tears. And in that story, he said that one tear ran into another tear. And he said, who are you? And that tear said, "Oh, I'm the tear of a girl who loved a man and lost him." And said, "Who are you?" The other tear said, "I'm the tear of the girl who found him and married him." Man, we need to be learn to be content with what we have and not with what we do not have. The Bible says this. Paul said to Timothy, he said, to Timothy in chapter 6 and verse 6, he said this. He said, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." Think about that for a minute. You know what God is saying? He's saying, if you've got clothes on your back and food to eat for this moment, right now, be content. God's taking care of you. I would tell you, it's good to have a good winter jacket on a day like today. Amen. Beautiful sunshiny day, but cold. Anybody who doesn't think it's cold is an Eskimo. But if you have raiment and food, Paul said, be content. And I'm going to tell you, when we get content with his provision, okay, God, whatever you provide, I will be content with that. And I promise you this, he will not let you down in the area of your provisions. God is both the source and the secret of contentment. He says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Do you get that? He's the source of your contentment, but I would say he's the secret of your contentment. If you want to be satisfied with what you have, put all your hope, all your trust, all your faith in him, delight in him, and he will take care of you. That wonderful, powerful truth that we can face the future without fear when we are content with his provisions. You can lose everything. But I'm glad to tell you, this verse tells us you cannot lose the Lord. You cannot lose him. When I want to tell you, you could lose all your money. You could lose everything that you have, and he would still be there, and you would still have him, and he will still take care of you. I tell you, if too many people trust in their money, too many people are concerned with their money, and they sit there and worry about the future. They'll even sit in a pew on Sunday morning, and all they can think about is their paycheck. Will it be enough, and how are they going to make it? Can I tell you that money talks? Mine always says, goodbye. See you later. It talks. The secret of contentment is that the Lord will take care of you. He will not fail you. He will provide for his children when we live in blessed obedience. Philippians 4, verse 11, he says this, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Does your future frighten you, or have you found the peace of contentment? Do you have the peace of contentment? Number two, look at this. In our text, he says this. He says, be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Can I tell you, we can face the future without fear because of the companionship of his presence. He said, I will be there for you. I will be there with you. I will not leave you. I'll never forsake you. In fact, this is a repetitive statement that the Lord has made. He makes it in Deuteronomy twice. He makes it in the Psalms. He makes it in 1 Chronicles. And then here in Hebrews, he rewords it for us in the New Testament. So we will know that he has not changed his mind. He will be with us no matter what. Do you know, some of you are sitting here this morning and you think the Lord will abandon you if you sin. You think if you're bad enough, God's going to quit on you and give up on you and walk away from you and leave you. But I got to tell you something. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In fact, in the Greek, it is interesting, in the Greek, this is a five compounded negative. In the Greek, it goes like this. It would say, he would say, I will never, not ever, no, never leave thee. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that incredible? There was a young preacher trying to explain this to one of his ladies in his church, one of the old mountain lady, and he was trying to explain that in the Greek it's five times, and finally after three times of trying to explain it, he just gave up. And she said, preacher, I don't know about them Greek folk, but God said it once, and that's enough for me. I think I could agree with her. God said it once, and that's enough for me. I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. I'll always be with you. He has a partnership. He will be with us all the way through. My future is bright if I lose everything, as long as I have the Lord, and I can't lose the Lord. Do you know why Daniel could face a lion's den? When all he knew, all he could know of lions and hungry lions is that when they throw me down there, I'll be dead. It'll be painful. It'll be awful. But I have Jesus. I have God. And that's enough. The three Hebrew children could face the fire, not because they were brave or courageous, but because they knew that the Lord would be with them in the fiery trial. Noah could face a flood. Listen to me. Joshua could face a Jericho. And you can face whatever's in front of you because the companionship of the Lord Jesus is real this morning. My, my, my. Many of us fear being alone. Psalm 37:5, David said, I love this. He said, I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Are you afraid of the future? Or are you confident knowing that God is with you every step of the way? My goodness, I'm going to tell you, we could face a future without fear, not only because of the contentment of his provision, but because of the companionship of his presence. And lastly, I want you to look at a little phrase tucked away in the middle of this verse. He says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said. He hath said. I want to tell you, you can face the future without fear because of the confidence in his promise. God has made promises to us. One of them being, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But I can tell you this, I can face the future without fear because I am confident in the promises that he's left me. I believe the word of God. I believe this is God's word to the English speaking people. I believe it from kiver to kiver, as the Scot would say. I believe it cover to cover. I even believe the concordance some of the time, amen. I'm not sure about the maps, but the concordance I'm pretty confident about. Listen, this is God's word and you can believe it. And if you believe it, it will inspire confidence. And if it inspires confidence, you will not live in fear because you know that God keeps his word. And if God keeps his word, he's never made a promise that he will fail you on. He will never let you down. God will take care of you. I saw a bumper sticker not long ago, and I pulled up behind the car and I was blessed to see it. It encouraged me that there might be a believer sitting in front of me. That bumper sticker said, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. And I thought, hallelujah, that's pretty good. But I got to thinking about that a few seconds later, and I thought, you know what? God said it, and that settles it. Whether you believe it or not, he's going to take care of his children. He's going to keep his promise. He's not going to let his children down. God said it. That settles it. In fact, Psalms made that clear in Psalm 119 and verse number 89. He said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Child of God, I want to tell you something. You can live in fear if you want to, but you can live without fear if you want to. If you live in fear, it is simply because you do not believe the promises. You do not believe what God has said. But whether you believe it or not, he's still going to be there for you. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that incredible? Now, I'm going to tell you, if you don't believe it, you're going to miss out on a lot of blessings, but God's still going to take care of his children. Amen. There were times I wondered if mom was going to fix dinner. There were times I wondered if we was going to starve to death. But I got to tell you something, even though I doubted her, mama always had a plan. Amen. Usually it was biscuits and gravy. Hallelujah. I like 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. He says, wherefore, whereby we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. God has given us great and exceeding precious promises. If the Bible and its promises do not inspire confidence in us, then we have failed to take God at his word, and we have failed to believe God. And that is absurd. It is highly absurd. We take people at their word every day, and yet we often struggle to take God at his word. Take people for their word every day. I believe Google Maps one time too many. Say amen to that. We were coming back from a student, from teacher fall educators convention, van load of us. I got my little phone going. My Waze was down, Brother George. I don't know why. Something had happened with Waze and it wasn't working. So I Google mapped it. I thought this will be just fine. We're riding along and everybody was hungry. So I hunted me a restaurant, found a restaurant, put the address in. Google Maps said, get off on this exit. I yelled at Brother Mark. I said, this is the exit. He whipped the wheel. We did the big clover leaf. I said, all right, I'm looking at Google Maps. He's driving, you know, navigator driver. He's driving. He went straight across. I said, oop, turn right, right here. We clover leafed it again on the other side of the interstate. We're going straight. I said, turn right, right here. We clover leafed it again back up on the exit. I said, go straight, up, up, turn right, right here. We clover, we hit all four leaves in the clover. And I'm going to tell you, that four-leaf clover had no good luck in it at all. Am I lying? If I'm lying, I'm a dying. I'm telling you right now. I trusted Google Maps one time too many, but I took them at their word. And yet we refuse to take God at his word. I'm going to tell you, the reality is we have failed God when we are willing to believe our fellow man who is flawed and filled with sin, but we have not believed the one who has never lied and never failed and never let us down. The fear you have in your heart for the future is a failure to trust God's word. I'm telling you this morning, what a blessing. Listen to me this morning. I took my sister car shopping. I took her car shopping and we hunted and found and man, we investigated every car. And I mean, we looked under the carpet and everything. I mean, we just really want to try to make sure we get a decent car. But you know what? At the end of the day, we took that car salesman's word for a lot of stuff. Not only that, we signed a lot of paragraphs. And I'll just be honest with you, I didn't read them. She said, oh, this just says that we're going to take real good care of you the rest of your life. You know, sign. Oh, this paragraph just says that your car is going to last forever. Sign, you know. This page and a half says that you're going to owe us the rest of your life. Sign, you know. Just didn't even read it. Just took their word for it. Page after page. Well, not me, Joanna. But if you've ever bought a car, you know what I'm talking about. You don't read every word of that. You don't hire a lawyer to go over that. Although they hired a lawyer to write it. Somebody say amen. And yet you trust their word above a God. Hey, come on now. You can't trust a car salesman. And you trust them, but you sit in fear and refuse to trust a God who made you, loved you, died for you, came back for you, and he's coming again. I'm going to tell you, we ought not face the future with fear because God has given us his promises. And we can be confident in those promises. Philippians 1:6, he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, y'all know what the day of Jesus Christ is. That's when the trumpet sounds. We go out of here. We're in glorified bodies. Can I tell you, it's all going to be better over there. And many of us are excited about that. Can't wait to get out of this fearful place. But I got news for you. You're misunderstanding the verse. God isn't inspiring you about the over yonder. He's saying, I got you right now. I'll be faithful to perform my work in your life right now until Jesus comes. And when he comes, it'll all be glory. We can be confident in his promises. We should have no fear because of the companionship of his presence, and we should have no fear because of the contentment of his provision. And yet, many of God's children look at 2017 and they're worried. And it's wearing them down, and it's wearing them out, and it's discouraging them, and it is depressing them when we ought to have no fear because we do not know what the future holds. But we do know who holds the future. Does the uncertainty of the future cause you anxiety? Or does the Word of God bring confidence and peace and security? Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, you'd help us realize this morning that outside of you is a life of fear. But when you saved us and brought us in the family of God, you expelled fear, replaced it with joy and contentment. You replaced it with your presence and your peace. You replaced the worry with your promises. God, I pray this morning that we would look at 2017 with excitement, knowing that you're working on our behalf and you're going to keep doing it till you come back again. Help us, Lord, not to live in fear, but to live in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together all over the auditorium.